Hey, what's good, everyone? It is Samir. Welcome to Beat Fano Podcast. So awesome to have you back. We're super excited to share more testimony. And this week, we've got another episode. So stay tuned here on Beat Fano Podcast. This podcast is sponsored by the Music Producers Guild of New Zealand, Aotearoa. The Music Producers Guild is an advisory service that assists and empowers our music producer industry. Members get personalized contracts for music production, free Serato Studio, Sample and DJ Pro, access to discounted audio equipment and software, and advice from industry professionals. Buy your plugins through the MPG NZ website to help support us in growing our community. For more info, please visit www.mpgnz.co.nz. Back to the podcast. Yo, what's good, everyone? It is Beat Fano Podcast. We're back for another episode. And this week, we're with Franz Oliver.
What's up, my brother? Samir.
Okay, Urban Drama from back in the day, man.
Urban Drama back in the day. Now my great adventure.
Yeah, now my great adventure, man. Reminds me of one of the many names. You know, started out as Dectricity, and then it turned into Dectric. So,
yeah.
Man, those names there, they go back. But kick things off, bro. How's everything going?
Bro, me and Cuzzy, I'm just up here in Mangere doing these little positive notes because now I'm selling my Great Adventure hoodies.
Yeah.
Bro, it's cool. I used to give away the Urban Drama t-shirts and now it's my Great Adventure.
Wow. That's amazing. It's quite cool when you like collect different like bits of t-shirts, merch, and then you get to see it from back in the day. Like, people still collecting them and then holding on because it's like memories, eh, bro?
Fuck, hell yeah.
And people are going to hold on to these for many years to come as well, bro.
Hard, bro. Like, when was it that I did Urban Drama? Because I did the music thing, eh, for a bit there. And it's buzzy, bro. Like, I saw an Urban Drama hoodie, Urban Drama t-shirt about a month ago. And I was like, oh,
wow,
people are still rocking Urban Drama.
Yeah.
And even the stickers, you know, I did stickers as well.
Yeah.
And you see a sticker on a car and I'm like, holy schmoly.
Bro,
like now doing the Migrate Adventure stuff, it's cool seeing the Migrate Adventure hoodies around. Like, I got my moderators, they wear a Migrate Adventure hoodie and they rock around their town, eh? And they see people looking at them and then they come up to them and go, oh, we watched that guy on Facebook.
Yeah.
We see that guy on TikTok. And they're like, yeah. So yeah, I had to do another run of hoodies.
Oh, that's amazing. But yeah, we'll be kicking into a little bit of how it all started soon. But I first came across you just on Facebook, as a lot of us do. I said to a lot of the peeps on the podcast, I'd just be on Facebook and you'd just add anyone related to music, even remotely, you know. But
yeah.
I had come across you and that was on the old Facebook. And so Richie, you were in South Island, eh? Like before you started doing the traveling. So where were you kind of like back in, like, did you grow up when you were a kid around those?
Oh, so I grew up in Tauranga.
Yeah.
And I was doing fishing for a long time. And then I always wanted to be a rapper. And then I became mates with Prestige Hustler from Rep FM.
Yeah.
And originally Recommended Dosage. And I met him at a gig in Tauranga. He'd come down from Auckland and they performed. And I was like, yeah, I know that Māori people like seafood. So I'm going to. Now I got scampi. So I was like, oh, I'll hook the brother up with some scampi and he'll teach me how to do the music thing.
Mm.
And so I messaged him. I was like, bro, you want some scampi? And he's like, yeah. So I was like, come over to his house, dropped some scampi off to him, and then I was like, yeah, he's into music, and I'll be able to learn that sort of lingo.
Wow.
And he taught me how to do, I think he taught me how to make loops back then,
yeah.
But I really wanted to get into the rapping side of things, so I was like, I just rapped to the loops.
Yeah.
And then, he taught me the business side of things, like with the merch, the t-shirts, and just pretty much give them out.
And when
you're performing on stage, you know, people will see your you'll see your clothing being worn and it'll create that hype.
That's
so
right.
I was like, I did that. So I've learned a lot of TJ. It's why I'm here right now.
Too for a while. The moment I came across Rep FM wasn't long after I had you on the Facebook and that. That goes back, but the fact that the bro goes way back to like even the Avro circle way back then.
Memories. Big shout out to Murph Avro.
Still doing.
But yeah, so when I learned about the music stuff, that's when I moved down to Christchurch and then I linked up with this local rapper down there who I was good mates with. Shout out to George Reed. And me and him connected together and made music and then we're like, shit, why don't we make a group? And then we called it Urban Drama, and then that's when I started doing the t-shirts and then the stage performances. And then I noticed that everyone wanted to be a rapper.
Yeah.
So I was like, damn, man, what? I need to be different to everyone else. So I started doing video clips. So I started learning how to do video clips and started making music video clips for people and whatnot. But I always had this one goal, bro. I always had this one goal since I was 17 to walk State Highway 1 and ask everyone I come across for a dollar.
Yeah.
We always sit in the garage and we go, oh, imagine if you asked a million people for a dollar.
Yeah, just as imagine if someone. Exactly.
And so I wanted to do that. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then someone did it. He called himself Bro Millionaire. Right. And then I was like, damn, that's, man, he's doing it. And then I was like, man, how do I do it different? Because I don't want to be a copycat.
Exactly.
Back then when he did it, there was no social media. So I did, I created my Facebook page, My Great Adventure. And then and then heaps of people were like, oh, because I had to live off $200 for like 6 weeks. That's hard,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, it actually is hard if you're on the road.
And so I started doing, I started eating pies and I'd go live.
Because
I was going live on Kai Now. So I was going live on there out on the boats because I saw people sitting in their kitchen and they were just eating and they had hundreds of people watching them and I was like, what the hell's up with that?
People
and I watched it and I was like quite interested in it. I was like, man, this is cool.
People can watch me eating.
And I was like, well, I work on a scampi boat. What if I go live out on the scampi boat and people can watch me eat seafood or hangi or boil up out on the boat, you know? Or maybe not hangi.
You can't
do hangi out on the boat.
That are like out the box,
And so heaps of people started watching and the positive attitude that was in Kai Now was showing a lot of love. And then that made me grow my confidence. And I kept saying, I'm going to go walk the country. I'm going to walk the country. And to pay homage back to Kai Now from when I was created my Facebook page, I was like, okay, I'll eat a pie in a different town.
Yeah.
Eventually I became bloody pie man. People started calling me the pie guy or pie man.
Which is big because like Rob Nye and all those guys were all trying to be the pie man too.
And it's like when I was doing that, people were like, oh bro, I'll chuck some money into your account if you can go and eat a pie here. And I was like, whoa, okay. Eventually I forgot those people who had donated the money and where the pie is that they wanted me to eat. So I was like, okay, let's donate some of this money to the ANTP ministry.
Yeah.
So we did that. And but yeah bro, it's been crazy.
That's
so
amazing.
But with the Facebook page that had when I started it, because originally I wanted to walk State Highway 1. People were saying, bro, can you come to this town? Can you come to that town? So I was like, okay, let's try and make a name for ourselves going down the country. Because, and that was a good way to do it too, because when I wanted to walk State Highway 1, I wanted to pitch a tent on people's lawn. But what if someone turned up and were like, who the hell is this guy with a shotgun?
Exactly,
you know, I don't know what's out there.
Exactly, there's things out there. So,
so it was beautifully done how I done it.
Yeah, you figured out. And that's the cool thing you got, you're with. And like, I did a lot of sleeping in cars growing up, like just in terms of the whole, I got to see Dan in school holidays and instead of coming back to Palmy, I like secretly stayed doing music even though he's Muslim. So he's like, oh yeah, like you should, you know, get around the wrong crowd. I was like, Dad, no, it's all good. I'll just go back. But I knew I was going to be around the right crowd because there's something about it where like you actually find out there's a lot of like strangers, people on social media, like that they genuinely want to find ways to connect. And create positivity. And like when we think about people say, I'll literally pay you to eat a pie, it's like that's some magic. And if you tap into it, like it can definitely build your confidence. I think that's the thing. Oh, that might be the one. I'll leave it there. But yeah, that's quite cool, bro. Like back to sort of that confidence factor, was there anything else that you found like helped with the confidence? Because you doing music videos and stuff, was there any like earlier memories of growing with confidence? Like in school, did you find yourself a confident guy or not so much?
I used to be a bit of a chubby guy back in back in college.
I
had quite a lot of confidence. I'm quite I was always someone who wanted to go further than
that kind of turns into confidence.
I wanted to be different and I wanted to, like my mum, she was a solo mum on a benefit. And she always had that mindset, you know, positive mindset. Draw your goals up on the wall and you know, you be good to the universe and the universe will provide. And I used to think, you're bloody crazy.
Yeah, that's a little good gag.
Be good to the universe and the universe will provide. No, you've got to provide for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not as easy as that when you
put it. When I learned down the track that actually, you know, the Like, let's say, for instance, you say out into the world or to the universe that you want to be rich. It's not going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think, my own personal opinion, is that if you do throw positiveness out there and show people that you can be confident too within yourself once you've learned about yourself, then good things will come.
Yeah, you live it as well as say it. Yeah,
yeah, bro.
Because sometimes people try to just say it and think, if I say it enough, I'll just start living it.
Yeah.
But there is a point where you have to start living it even when you don't feel like it. Yeah. That's the key. Even when
money ain't gonna
feel
fall off the sky. Yeah, exactly. You have to try and, you know, actually go for it.
And that's just, even when you don't feel like it, you got to do the work, you know.
But you know, I was a confident teenager. I was actually, when I hit 20 years old, I was sexually assaulted by a dude, and that sort of messed it all up my life. And then, you know, because I wanted to be a rapper, I was quite embarrassed. I didn't want people to call me, you know, in the rap world, when someone calls you a faggot or whatever, you know, that's a hard out word.
It's a thing, and if people attach all the meanings of, you know, hard, shame on them. It's like,
and no disrespect to anyone that's calling me. In that sort of world.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the rap world, that's a horrible word to use against someone. Exactly. And so for me, I was like, I don't want anyone to call me that because I might retaliate in a wrong way.
Exactly.
Because I was hurt and, you know, embarrassed and trying to deal with my own stuff, I actually picked up the meth pipe.
Yeah, you picked it.
And I went down the meth road, which was the wrong road to go down. I wish I'd spoken about it and opened up and talked about it.
Yeah.
I got clean when I was 26, and that's when I started doing the music thing.
Yeah.
And that helped me quite a lot.
Yeah.
And then you got married. And
yeah.
I can blame the marriage.
No, you can blame. Yeah,
it takes two to
exactly.
Make
there's times where you go back, and then I mean, this is what they say. Nothing hits harder than life. And that's why I think about families and like when you know the commitments start coming of life and the big responsibilities. That's when you can say nothing hits harder than life. Just getting up in the morning.
Well, because I relapsed when I was 32. And then I got clean when I was 34, and I said, okay, yeah, I'm going to be clean for 100 days. I've got to make it to 100 days, and I got to 100 days, and then I celebrated by having a sesh.
Yeah.
Wrong thing to do, bro.
Yeah.
Wrong thing to do.
Itself.
For the next 4 or 5 months, I was addicted to it again, you know.
Yes.
And then my car was broken into, and because I did the music, then moved on to the video clips, and then I had that mindset when I was doing meth. I was like, you could steal my car, sweet ass, I'll go back out to see buy another one. You could steal my drugs, all good, I'll buy some more.
Yeah.
You steal my camera that's got footage on it that I can't get back, well now you're messing with my life.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that was like in the car and then I saw the video.
I did a live video on Facebook when I was out the gate, and I wanted to do that so my future self could look back on it and be like, bro, if you go back to indulge, you're going to be that person sitting in the car.
And that cycle is, like that is the pinnacle. Is like, I can already see how far down a cycle I'm going.
Yeah.
But if I go down any further, there's no ladder anymore.
Yeah. I think when I did that video, it was also a cry for help as well.
Oh, bro, hard.
Because
at
that time, you know, there's not many things out there or people out there that are doing like what I'm doing now to help people that are in that sort of circle.
Yeah, taking everything from the whole life journey.
So I thought, you know, well, I'll get off this drug. You know, I've put myself in this vulnerable situation. Back when I was 20 years old, that wasn't my fault. What my fault was putting myself into this situation by smoking meth.
Yeah.
Problem on top of the problem. I want to get rid of those problems and I want to just start being me again.
Yeah.
So I told myself, you know, give up meth. I told myself, I'll give up meth and I'll smoke it tomorrow. We all know tomorrow never comes.
Yeah, tomorrow,
But today's always here, so we've got to try and be better than who we were yesterday.
We've only got the present moment.
So I was like, okay, I'll smoke meth tomorrow. And eventually, before I knew it, I got a message from the guy who stole my camera saying, oh, bro, I've got your things, come and get it. And I I was like, that's
that
probably
karma,
a
karmic thing.
I think that was the universe telling me, all right,
exactly.
You've said it. You're
exactly. The synchronicity of,
here's your
outward
stuff
going back in. Because the energy of going out and saying, I believe in that, bro. Like when you literally don't even realize that your actions are coming from what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And so because it's coming out to people remember that. And next thing you know, they're like, oh, bro, you just were positive as that day. I got you on that 20.
Yeah.
Or you can borrow it. You can get this back. And that's powerful, bro, that we can actually find the science behind the universal laws, eh? Because a lot of people just say, I don't really believe in spirituality or faith religions. Like, nah, it's not about that. It's actually about the science behind it. Like for even yeah. you scientific cats out there listening, that is a prime example, eh, bro, of like yeah. genuinely putting an accountability factor out in the community.
Yeah.
So there's no other choice but for you to be able to look back and say, whoa, you know,
yeah,
there was a moment where everyone could see that there was going to be a change and it started here, you know.
Harder, harder.
So, yeah, so cool.
A couple of things I've written down here, bro, because for the people that have bought a hoodie, I've been writing like positive notes for people. Wow. So this one here, I wrote, say something positive and you'll see something positive. Hey.
That's hey.
Powerful words bro.
Words are powerful. Man, you've got the best of the best on here.
Just done the old Google.
Exactly, bro. But it's like a collaboration with Google because it also comes from what you resonate when you look it up and what you choose to take from
There's this one here, if not that one. Oh, if you feel like you're losing everything, remember, trees lose their leaves every year and still they stand tall and wait for better days to come. There's one that I wrote down that I go by every day.
It's a tie-up.
One thing I love to do is I choose to be optimistic. It helps me feel better. Yeah. Always be open to everything.
Open, yeah. That's especially when we live in New Zealand, eh?
Like,
yeah, like we have struggled, but man, a good trip overseas can really make you think nothing of like opportunity that exists in New Zealand.
Yeah.
You know, not for the day that you have where you feel like, you know, winds are sticking it up and not giving you what you need, but knowing that, hey, you know, this too shall pass because at least that exists.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're in the slums of Bangladesh, oh, now we're talking a different story. You know, people are struggling to get their nutrition. Like, you know.
One thing I remember seeing on Facebook years ago is when, you know those Give A Little pages and GoFundMe?
Yeah.
I used to think, I'm not going to give someone some money if they're not going to do anything for it.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, how do I do that? How do I do a Give A Little thing but in person?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, why don't I do like, I don't know, push a motorbike to Taupo from Rotorua. Did you see that one?
No, I
walked a motorbike from Rotorua to Taupo. It took me 4.5 days, bro. I was messed up at the end of it. I walked a surfboard from Mahia gas station all the way up to Gisborne.
That yeah, I think I remember days. Seeing a snippet of that too.
And I met that surfboard one that was for Mahesian Wave Warriors and I fundraised $1,900, I think, in that 3 days. Yeah. And then for pushing that motorbike, I made $2,337. This is the first time I've ever mentioned it on any platform, like, how much money I made in that
scale,
one.
The scale of the kaupapa, bro, that's amazing.
So it's like, I think people like to try and give you something if you're doing something. And with me pushing that motorbike from Rotorua to Taupo, it's not only just me being an out of it dude, spontaneous pushing a motorbike, it's about showing people that, you know, if you've got a goal or if you've got a thought, you got to put that one step ahead of the other step, that one foot in front of the other foot to get to your destination, to get to your goal. Exactly. So that was the whole overall
consistency of sacrifice. Hey, it's like today is another day of sacrifice, but this day is just as important as the last, and it will be just as important as the next day.
Harder, bro. I fully love the old positive mindset and you know, walking or working towards your goals, you know.
And
you know, the goal is always good, bro. There's a thing here somewhere where I just wrote it down. What is it? That's not it. There's a goal one here somewhere. It was something about, I can't see it.
Might be the last.
Where's the goal one? The purpose of life is to be happy.
I didn't see a goal one there.
Yeah.
Didn't see a goal one.
Is that it? Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
So this one, it's good. It says, if you want to live a happy life, tie it to a goal, not to people or things.
Yeah, exactly. People or things that can be quite limiting, but a goal, that is when something the universe has never seen before becomes real. Like, you know, what Elon does, you know?
Hard.
Take the good, leave the bad from his cocoa. It's like, man.
The thing I liked about this one is that, you know, in a relationship, you're always like, yeah, let's have a good relationship, but that person might not have the same goals as you. So then the relationship splits or breaks up.
Exactly.
And you're like depressed and stuff because that goal didn't work.
And you didn't actually check out
the goal. So yeah, I reckon that's a good one.
Yeah, both come in with the idea that the happy life is definitely to go away. Don't attach it, because people, things are actually both material, eh? And they won't last, they won't hold the weight when the tough, you know, comes in, you know? So.
And that comes down to, like, that comes down to when I quit my job to go on my great adventure. So 6 months I remained clean, and before I knew it, you know, by telling myself I'll smoke meth tomorrow, that procrastination, was like, okay, I'm 6 months clean now. Yeah, that's me. What's next for my life? Yeah. My knee started hurting on the boat, so I couldn't work on the boat no more. So I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to quit this job. And because that goal had always been to walk the State Highway 1, well, now I've got to focus my goal to that.
Yeah.
And so I had a mate die in a motorbike accident in March 2021, 2 weeks before I went on this adventure. And I said, man, if I die today, what am I going to leave behind for my kids? Those crackhead video clips of me getting my car broken into on Facebook. Nah, no way, I don't want that. No. So I was like, nah, quit my job, gave my cars away, bro, because if I did die, my car's not going to come with me.
Exactly, it's not. And you're on a quest. Yeah, you're on the big quest. Yeah.
And so that's when it comes down to that goal for me to walk State Highway 1. The cars don't mean anything for me. I can't use the car to walk up State Highway 1.
Exactly, it's going to be sitting there, but that's wasted potential. You realize that too. Just like if I ever had some music gear sitting there collecting dust eventually, hey, the bro needed a laptop and I just gave it to him the other day. The bro, the bro, James Groot. It's like, that's it, you know? So
James Groot.
So it's the same thing as like, we all, one and one is the brother Suinari. When I met him, he told me, you know, I learned the real meaning.
Shout out to brother Ed.
Hey, brother Ed. And I realized just how deep some of the philosophy, like the wisdom, it goes, and how it connects from even my upbringing with a Muslim dad, Christian mum, like how much of it I can appreciate now. And more, it's like there is such thing as, you know, walking that narrow path, eh, bro? You know, they call it a narrow path for a reason, because it's the same one that so many people just fall off on either end, because it's so narrow. But you know,
we've got to, like, in life, you know, when we're walking that narrow path, there's always going to be obstacles. There's going to be trees in your way to get to where you want to get to. And those trees for me are those people that are still in that meth world, my old friends that I don't really associate with as much. Exactly. I still talk to them.
You're still with love,
But those are those trees that are my hurdles. That's, and if I go back to there, then what is that going to be for my goal, you know?
Sometimes the best way to help someone is to not really help them in their way, because it's with a hand on heart that you're saying, I've got to fill my cup up first.
I think too, like, hearing other people's stories about the mistakes that they've made, they're also the best ones to take into. Always listen to someone too, who's made mistakes.
Oh, bro.
Because then you know that that path for them had failed and didn't work for them. So if you think that you're going to go down that same path, it's going to be the same failure.
And why go for all those years when someone has said, hey, look, you know, take a leaf off my tree.
Hard out. Everyone's walking a path, and you know, some of those paths aren't really the good paths to walk. It's hard to say, but for me personally, like, I've walked that path of that drug substance abuse, you know, and what it come down to for me was the sexual assault. That was my trauma. I was trying to hide it. Exactly. I didn't want anyone to know about it. I didn't want to talk to anyone about it. And it wasn't until I talked to my mum, and my mum asked me, well, Franz, why do you do meth? And I said to her, I was actually sexually assaulted when I was 20. And once I'd said that out into the world, bro, let that out of my thoughts.
You even caught on. You caught on.
And I was like, wow. Yeah. But I always had this thing in my mind. I wish there was someone on social media, because we're all on phones these days.
Exactly.
We're not watching TVs no more. Exactly. We're all on our cell phones. Yeah. And
just like, TVs are becoming like the blockbusters now. They're all dying. We're all on their last legs, bro. You can see them now. They're getting desperate.
And so I figured, okay, why don't I start filming myself on this adventure? My kids can see it. If I died today, bro, I'd be a happy man if I died today. I'm a happy man now. If I did die today, at least I know there's videos out there for my children. And I've inspired, you know, my children, hopefully. So that's why I'm on TikTok and Facebook. And also too, because you always hear about people going, oh, you know, if I hitch the country, I wish I documented it. We got phones now.
Utilize the cloud. You don't need to keep it all on your phone. You've got unlimited storage out there.
Hard, bro.
Yeah, bro.
So that's the good thing about Facebook. Facebook has, you know, you know, some people say, oh, social media is bad and all that sort of stuff. And it is.
It is. For many ways, it is.
With my great adventure, I like to do community things. I like to get people to come together, Bro, I've made some wicked friendships on my great adventure.
Yeah.
Even my moderators have become good friends with each other. You know, my moderator Mel down in Nelson and my moderator Annette in Raglan. They both fly to each other to catch up and stuff. So I've made friendships through the social media and grew other people's friendships as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, you flipped around, turning the good. And that's, we were just talking before the podcast about how you can, you know, like be the creator rather than the consumer, because it is a world market. So there's enough room in that world audience of 7 billion people to cater for them through all of us being the creators. And that's when we all get to take the bag back to New Zealand.
Guys.
And that goes back to our ancestors' wishes too. So, it's so powerful.
Not many people know it, eh? But you can make some, money on social media.
You can.
One thing that I want to start doing is teaching people how to make money on social media, whether it's TikTok or Facebook. You can make money on Facebook too.
Exactly. And when you get your first payout, I think it really makes you realize, man, I haven't even been putting all my effort now, because you don't know if you're going to. And then when you see it, like, oh, I can put in some more effort now. Like, this is just the start.
I put up with our mutual friend, Mikey J. Shout out to Mikey J. We went down. So the first time I got paid from social media, I was like, holy moly, you can get paid from Facebook. Yeah, this is dope.
And that's a proper pay. We're not talking like, man, it's too fucking
hard. Yeah. I mean, I'd make a lot more money if I was out on the scampy boats, but that's not my life no more.
Exactly.
You know, I've got to be where I'm happy, and where I'm happy is...
you find that balance there.
Hard out. Like, it might not be as much as what I get on the boat, but it is enough to sort of survive and live, you know?
Yeah, and then you still get your... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get your work life,
But yeah, Mikey J, when I went down to Fielding, I think it was around the time that I seen you as well. Like,
could have been.
And we went to the pub, and we went to go play on the...
The machine.
Pokey machines.
Yeah.
And I went live on it to play for my first time.
Exactly.
And I just seen all the people watching it. And then I saw how much money I made from, like, heaps of people were like, oh, bro, you know, the house always wins. You're going to lose if you do this thing.
And
for me too, like, I don't want to show smoking on my lives or anything like that, because it triggers people.
Exactly.
And I was like, shit, you know, how is this different doing a pokey machine? It's going to trigger people.
Exactly.
But then I realized that people actually like watching that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Because then they can't pay for it, you know?
Yeah, and if there's going to be someone who does it, let it be someone you can watch it. But not only that, they can say, well, cool. It almost feels like they're doing it. And we talk about bridges, eh? Like, in sort of society and how we're starting to realize, you know, like the broken systems, education, whatever it is. Like, it's important that we create bridges in community, because the bridges are effectively telling people, you know, like, we're not expecting you to be like perfect. But if we can create a bridge where we can find some common ground and say, hey, if our, you know, our heart's in the right place, this bridge is actually going to lead towards a more sustainable long-term change. You know, like, even like the bridges for me, it's like, if you're, if people are religious, you know, a bridge for them could be like, you know, they just fast a little bit, like, but they're not Muslim or whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the bridge actually is a sign of, like, hey, you know, go easy on these cats, you know, go easy on yourself, go easy on others, and remember, you're just human, but, you know, it's a day-by-day thing, it's not going to be overnight.
That poker machine, when I went there, and people were saying, you know, they were commenting, they were sharing it, they were commenting, they were reacting to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. And then after the live, I went and checked it out, and there was like $360 on that one video. I was like, whoa! So I could go down that path and do the whole gambling thing and film it. But I'm not about that. I'm all about, you know, walking and hitching and being amongst nature and doing my thing. So I know that I could go down that avenue and make money that way, but that's not my thing. But to know that you can do that and make money, I want to teach people how to make money on social
media. Flip that into your own kaupapa, your own passions, so if it can be as something as like that, then it can be anything between, like, it'd be you making beats in front of people, someone say, oh, hey, reckon you could like remix that T-Pain one, and I'll give you $10 as my favorite song.
I just wrote a Harley Davidson like 4 days ago, and it's already got like 279,000 views on it, and it's got like $340 on that video just from me riding a Harley, bro.
Yeah,
crazy, bro. Exactly. So there's, for people that are listening out there, there is money to be made on social media.
There is.
You think about it, there's like billions and how many people in the world? There's quite a few billion.
Seven billion. Yeah, 7 billion.
And how many Facebook pages are out there? No doubt triple that. I know a few people that have got like 3, 4, 5 profiles.
Yeah.
So you know, there's a lot of money.
We're not even counting the scammers. Oh, we're talking all the legit people. So
yeah, all the legit ones.
If you haven't seen the pattern yet, now you see it.
Oh, harder. So get amongst it. You see your kid on the TikTok or something like
champion.
That.
Yeah.
Tell them to create something.
Exactly.
5 minutes of scrolling, 5 minutes of creating.
Nice. Well,
half an hour scrolling, half an hour creating.
Exactly.
Try and if. Like what we're talking about now is that you can make money on TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
Grow your account, get to that 500, start to go live. Your community
will
start gifting you. Let them know, share your story.
Because
that's what it's about. Exactly. Your brand is about your story.
It is, and it's more relatable now because there's no quick Photoshopping or thing on the bit. Like even that's why I think the TV, what they're missing is what was originally their point of difference was it's a high quality.
Yeah.
And now we're coming back to things that are relatable.
Yeah.
Especially with the fact that back then not everyone had phones, but now everyone has phones.
Everyone has
so the new thing to be relatable is actually to tap into what people know every day is like their world. Back then their world was watching the 6 o'clock news. Why? Because they got to see in high quality what was out there on the streets.
Yeah,
but now they want to see the streets from their eyes and that's literally on the phone. It's just elevated towards like a common unity of, oh man, social media is like something that you know isn't going to be filtered. That is what is a big one, especially as we know during those events that happen. And you see one thing in Parliament on TV, but you'd see your best friend. You think, oh, my friend doesn't know how to do Photoshop. Even if he did, he wouldn't be that guy. So and then you realize, okay, now
But people like rough, rugged, and raw and realness. They like that. And also authenticity. Being your original self. Don't try and pretend to be like, for me, for many years when I did the hip hop thing, I was like, yeah, I want to be like Eminem.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be like Dr. Dre. I want to be like Scribe or, you know, whatever. But then I wasn't happy because all these other people were just being themselves and they were making dope music.
Yeah.
I was like, shit, I'm not being dope enough. I don't think I'm good enough. And I ended up sitting down and me and my group split up. And I was like, okay, are they going to like me if I'm just Franz Oliver,
not even
drama. And so I was like, you know what? I got to a point where I don't care what people think no more. I'm just going to do my music for me. And I created the song Vicious and Music in My Veins with True Nelly.
Yeah.
And bro, it was some of the best music that I ever did.
Yeah.
Was just not worrying about what other people think and just focusing on myself.
And it
went
everything.
And utilized that situation for my great adventure. I'm not worried about what people think about me. You remember 8 Mile?
Oh,
8 Mile, the movie.
Eminem, that's right.
And he dissed himself.
Yeah,
and then Doc couldn't diss him because Eminem already dissed himself. My teeth aren't that great.
Exactly.
You know? I got dry skin around my nose, wrinkly eyes, and dissed myself.
Flip it around.
No one can diss you if you diss yourself.
And not only do you flip it around, but everyone's like, oh, like this is actually.
Yeah.
Not only is it flipped around, but that's. When you stand out, it always comes back for the good. Like, I was always a kid with the boys, how I always stirred because I was the only one who beatboxed like everywhere.
Yeah.
Everyone would try like tease it, but like back, like after school, like it turned into like, nah, like we won't forget.
Drop
you
us
now.
A beatbox.
Yeah, see what I mean? So,
I just remember that Arazawe. Everybody. Oh,
That was the DJ Hero one.
I know the boil up one, that one that goes, I want my boil up.
I'll need to take myself back into it. So that's it, like those little things. I always talk about on the podcast, we talk about gems and like things that people can be listening to and just.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's worth you being you and being like authentic and because like when it comes to like the legacy you'll leave behind, you cannot put a price, and you will start to realize as you get older, like you can't take anything with you to the grave. And life is very, very short, and it's short enough for us to not take a day for granted and to and to just give someone the words that might save a life. So, but even when I found, I think it was through your page that I found Hand Up.
Hand Up,
like that, like the moment, like that didn't come up that long, and but for like the short time it's been around, like to see what's.
It's great.
Probably, and to probably see like the people's lives who have been impacted from it, just when you listen in and you feel like you're one.
Yeah.
Oh man, you know,
like cool.
You're one, Brother Ed's, and like, oh, you know that. And even, I don't know if you've heard Fino Fluence, like that's another one, but there's all these little things popping up, bro.
Yeah.
And it just shows that like your small little part that you want to do to be authentic, it's
big to someone else.
It's powerful, bro. It's the biggest thing there is. Jim Carrey says, you know, like, the effect you have on others is the greatest currency there is, and it's so true, bro. So.
Bro, the person that I like, that I'm inspired by, is Gary Vaynerchuk.
Does not care, bro. It just does him, babe, and does it in authenticity and encourages it, and knows that, like, with your own success story, social media, there is room for you to be you. And
Bro, he is the man, bro, and he teaches that too, that you can make money on social media. He's not worried about money or nothing like that, but he seriously suggests to create that social media.
He knows that.
At least 4 videos a day, he reckons, on TikTok.
Bro.
And everywhere is content, bro.
Yeah.
Everywhere is a scene.
Yeah.
The people on the podcast at the moment can't see the Tinoranga Teratanga flag, but that's a scene right there that you can use, you know?
Yeah.
And that's that. If you did a video with that, people are going to relate to that, you know?
And it's that out-of-the-box stuff that he was doing way back with the wine stuff, so that's when you know. So that's cool you brought him up, Like, and for people listening, I think this is a special podcast for B-Fano because we're talking about the effect that music arts has on, you know, being yourself, rather than just, you know, like we're saying, those big ones that we all get inspired by. It's not bad to have those inspirations, but just remember, those inspirations are counting on you to be the new inspiration yourself. For generations to come, you know.
So we've always got to keep inspiring.
Because people are going to keep being born and growing up in this.
And the way that you inspire people is by sharing your story. Share your story. Let people hear your story. Don't be ashamed to share your story. We've all gone through something.
Every
single one of us.
I started talking about even like when I started like getting introduced to like weed and alcohol. It's like, how cool is it that I used to feel like, oh, my parents were a big thing, or the religious fans, and then I say, hey, you know what? I see some of the church and mosque gets up to some stuff too. So now I'm going to be a Steve Harvey up in the scene. Yeah. I'm going to do it too. So, yeah, you're Steve right. For anyone tuning in, just own your story, be yourself.
And, harder.
Yeah,
there's that saying at the moment that I like, hey, it ain't weak to speak, bro. It ain't weak to speak. Hard, guys. Me neither.
Yeah, it's such a good.
I heard my bro J Dub say it once, and I was like, J Dub, you the man. Shout out to the bro J Dub up there in Whangarei.
Yes.
I meant the chainsaw dude, forestry worker who does TikToks. He's the man, bro. He's another positive person too, quite influential. He's another influence of mine that I'm influenced by. New Zealand, anyway.
Yeah.
And also TJ, Prestige Hustler.
Yeah, he's inspirational. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I love seeing his updates. We're going to hopefully get the bro on in another podcast since we're at this brother's house. But just to kind of finish up on the podcast, my bro. Just I guess any last words or any plugs, just anything to kind of wrap things up there, my bro.
Don't be afraid to be you. Be better than who you were yesterday. Don't focus on being better than someone else, or don't try and be someone else. Just be you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for the awesome kōrero, my bro. It's been an absolute honour. And hopefully we'll come back just like how Joe Rogan has people come back again. I'm following his footsteps and an awesome catch. But if you want tuning in, that was B-Fano Podcast with the brother Franz Oliver. Make sure you share the episode if you enjoyed it with someone, good friend or family, and also check out our other episodes. And stay tuned for more B-Fano Podcasts. Peace and love, Fando.
This podcast is sponsored by Kick On Records. Kick On Records brings awesome music and gigs to you, based from Palmerston North to New Zealand. Stay tuned on their socials for all the awesome gigs coming up, as well as music releases. And a huge shout out to them for sponsoring B-Fano Podcasts. Well, everyone, that was another B-Fano podcast. Super blessed to have you tuned in. We're going to have some amazing podcasts coming up, so stay tuned. tell a friend if you enjoyed this one, leave us a great review, and we'll catch you back for some more Be Whānau podcasts. Peace and love, Whānau.